Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is episode 262. Right off the bat, just want to say thanks to everybody for listening to the show and for continuing to come back for more Masonic education in the form of these podcasts. I'm in talks with our supplier to come up with a new fundraising platform for the show. Whether we stick with pins or not, I'm not quite sure yet. I'm looking at some other options. I hope to start solidifying those details over the next month or two. Thanks to everybody who's been buying pins as of late. Our episodes actually started getting syndicated on YouTube, and that has brought a whole new audience to the show, which has floored me a little bit. I didn't understand why somebody might watch a show on YouTube when there's no video, but they do. So if you're one of those guys, you are in an untapped area, I guess. Yeah, but I do really appreciate you listening to the show, and I'm just so excited that you found it. So that said, this week I've been going through a lot of things. I've had a transition at work into a new role. School got back in session, and things are rolling right along. I've got some big meetings coming up. We're coming to the close of the Masonic year. So this, not that I'm trying to make excuses for shorter episodes, but we are having some shorter episodes right now, and it's just unavoidable, honestly. That said, of course, I did just have a great interview slash conversation with Frater O. We wanted to talk about the geometry of the lodge floor, and what started off as a bit on that, we went all over the place as usual. So I found the episode to be pretty edifying. It was a great conversation. So we'll probably have that on next week. This week I've got two quick pieces that I would love to read for you, and we'll get into that right now. So the first is an interesting one that was put up on a website, and we actually talked a little bit about it a few weeks back on the Masonic Roundtable. And it was the episode that, I believe it was 132, we talked about candidate expectations, what to expect when you're expecting degrees. And there was a little bit of talk about, you know, the goat. Everybody has this joke about the goat riding or something, you know, and it's totally lost on me. I never understood it, the imagery and everything else. I mean, there's just nothing there. However, I did find an interesting piece that was just a few short paragraphs about the goat riding anomaly. The goat riding anomaly. The Scottish Rite Journal, September 91, Southern Jurisdiction has elegantly written an article entitled "Freemasonry is a Secret Society to Many of Its Members" by Ronald C. Raddatz, 32nd degree. In short, the gist of the article is a reference to some of the misconceptions harbored by today's brethren. One in particular referenced the age-old cliché, riding the goat, and elaborated how an uninformed brother may lend an unknowing hand in perpetuating an anti-Masonic stereotype. For those without access to the journal, according to Brother Raddatz, quote, "Originally, goats were used in the wildly misplaced belief that some sort of Satanism existed in the craft. In the burlesque parade, someone parodying as a brother would attempt to ride a goat which represented the devil." Brother Raddatz further stated, quote, "Using this phrase to describe our ritual is more than unfortunate and derogatory. It trivializes our impressive initiation ceremony and mocks the very institution we love." End quote. After reflecting, there are numerous instances in which I can recall the use of this cant. Most were from aged and well-respected brethren whom I feel after reading this article would cease this perpetuation. Being thankful for the knowledge gained from this reading, I erased the phrase from my mind and vowed to do my best to enlighten the uninformed. That was until I happened across a copy of the August 1991 Knight Templar magazine, page 18, and to my surprise discovered an ad offering "Riding the Goat Prince for Sale." What a mind's dilemma this posed. I suppose I could take the serious path, as Brother Raddatz did, and follow my vow of erasure and enlightenment, or I could order one of the prints and hang it as a reminder of that human quest for levity, with little regard to its true origin or moral meaning. Regardless, Brother Raddatz is totally correct. We must never trivialize or mock this great institution we have so sacredly sworn to uphold and support. Signed, Brother Jeff, Moses Cook, number 111, Picayune, Missouri. So there you have it, just a little bit about that. I found it kind of interesting. You know, I wrote a little piece on the Midnight Freemasons about levity, maybe are we taking ourselves too seriously? And sometimes I think so. But this goat thing, I really don't care for it. I think it's rather silly to continue to perpetuate it. But to each their own, and we'll be moving on. So the second piece I have was really kind of interesting. It's more of a discussion piece, really, and it's called Serious Accusations, and it's by Right Worshipful Raymond E. Peterson. He's the Grand Secretary, or was the Grand Secretary of the Grand Lodge, Ancient Free and Accepted Masons of Colorado. And he writes, "How the matter of suspensions for non-payment of dues is handled by the various Grand Lodges is a matter of continuing interest. This bulletin discusses what the Grand Lodge of Colorado encountered. Prologue. In 1984, the Most Worshipful Grand Lodge AFNAM of Colorado sent the following letter to all Masons who were suspended for non-payment of dues. Quote, the Grand Lodge office has received notice that you have been suspended from Masonry for non-payment of dues. You have spent considerable time and money in becoming a Brother Master Mason. We wonder why you have chosen not to continue your membership in the craft. If you would answer the two questions on the back of this letter and return it to us in the enclosed, stamped, and self-addressed envelope, we would be most appreciative. The two questions on the back were, 1. I have decided to discontinue my Masonic membership because, open-ended. Number 2. I would be interested in renewing my affiliations with Masonry if, open-ended. A similar letter was mailed to all candidates who became non-affiliated because they had not advanced in the prescribed time frame, 2 years. The replies received form the basis for this paper. It should be noted that nearly 40% of the inquiries mailed were answered. Another 10% were returned by the post office as addressee unknown. Why do Masons quit? Each year in Colorado, we lose nearly as many members through non-payment of dues as we gain through degree work. Nearly a third of all men who are initiated into Masonry are never raised to the sublime degree of Master Mason. Why? From the replies our brothers have given us, these are the reasons. 1. Non-understanding of Masonry. 2. Lack of money. 3. Lack of communication. 4. They're dead. 5. We don't care enough. 6. We're boring. 7. Complaints against Masons. Addressed as follows. 1. Non-understanding of Masonry. The replies made it evident that there were many Masons who just didn't grasp what Masonry was all about. Some should never have been initiated. A brother who responds, quote, Masonry is not what I'm looking for in a lodge. I have since joined the Elks. Probably had no pre-initiatory education. The investigating committee's work might be questioned also. It does us great harm to initiate members who will later feel they joined under false pretenses. We must give an honest assessment of what we are and what we do to a prospective candidate. It is better not to initiate them than to lose a brother through disenchantment. We have harped on lodge meetings attendance so long and hard that we are now losing members because they cannot attend meetings. Witness these replies. Quote, bad health and have been unable to attend meetings, end quote. I moved to blank, where I know no Masons. I haven't attended a meeting after joining the lodge, so I feel that it would be best to discontinue my affiliation with Masonry. Who first decided that to be a contributing Mason you had to attend meetings? It seems that point has been made. But instead of getting increased meeting attendance, we're getting dropouts with meeting guilt complex. Some replies show how very little continuing education we have. Quote, I didn't get my 25-year pin, which was due in 1979. Quote, we live in blank and use the facilities there. I would be interested in renewing my affiliation with Masonry if I was needing the social contact. I couldn't see any value to retaining my membership. Possible solutions? First, more training of investigation committees and critical selectivity of applicants. Second, an honest and comprehensive pre-initiatory education, if you will explain the program. Third, continuing education past the Master Mason degree. We need to re-emphasize that the self-making of a Mason is never complete and does not necessarily need to take place in a lodge room. 2. Lack of money. Surprisingly, there were far too many answers of this category. out of work for 2 years. I just can't afford it. I live on $449 a month. I have not been able to work since 1981. I couldn't find a job at my age. It's pretty hard to do, but I'm still trying. I don't draw enough Social Security to live on. Our lodges have an obligation which these replies seriously question. Not knowing who among us needs help is nearly as bad as knowing and not helping. Solution? Somehow, we must be more thorough in caring for each other. Brothers who need help must be found and helped. The techniques are simple. Teaching brothers to care for each other is not so simple. But if Masons do not love one another, then Masonry can never teach the brotherhood of man. If they do not communicate, they cannot know. 3. Lack of communication. There were far too many replies stating the following. Send me what I owe in dues. Not realizing that my dues were past due. Let me know what I owe to catch up. I thought I had paid my dues. Please send me the amount of dues I'm behind. Granted, the Postal Service leaves much to be desired. Granted, some brothers ignore their mail or do not write checks, but still, these brothers were suspended NPD. The depth of interest in their membership on the part of the lodge has been questioned. Solutions 1. The telephone. Reach out and touch someone. 2. Personal calls and the right hand of fellowship. 3. Bright colored envelopes, stickers, stamps, something saying, Masonic, open now. In short, positive communication before suspension. Number 4. They're dead. It is possible for a lodge to lose contact with a member, but many statements from widows such as ill for a long time and after a long illness questions the integrity and concern of a lodge for its members. Too many times, each of us shirks our duty and blames the secretary or the master or the senior warden. And how can a brother be ill for a long period of time, die, and then be suspended NPD? If we care for one another. 5. We don't care enough. The solutions are the same as for the preceding category. The conditions are pitiful. A letter received from a brother's wife saying her husband was proud to be a Mason was in an adult blind home undergoing rehabilitation. How can a whole lodge of Masons either not care or not know? Number 6. We're boring. A passel of replies stated simply, lost interest. Either we didn't teach well in the first place or we didn't offer enough additional materials to retain interest. In either case, the solution rests with lodge programs, study groups, discussion, and an exchange of ideas. Communications are what we call our meetings. Often we communicate nothing. Which of us can truthfully say that we haven't, from time to time, been bored with Masonic meetings ourselves? Imagination and initiative are the keys to solving this problem. Also, remember the most interesting thing we have to offer is Masonry, not entertainment, social welfare, or socialization. Self-improvement and enlightenment are our goals. 7. Complaints against Masons. Some people, of course, enjoy finding fault. Not all complaints are valid, but all complaints are worth considering. Recurring reasons received were 1. Members do not live by the rules of Masonry. 2. Masonry is anti-Christian. 3. Masons do not visit the sick and the shut-in. 4. Lodges are cliquish. 5. Politics takes precedence in lodges. 6. Non-monetary brotherly support is lacking. True or not, these are serious accusations, and each of us should examine our own actions to see if we might stand suspect of any of these complaints. And so we arrive in full circle. Why the dropouts? It appears we have no one to blame but ourselves. Perhaps our Masonic practices must be better than those who came before us. Perhaps society is now more critical than it was then. Few question if Masons are good people, but are we good enough in this day and age to, with credibility, convince society we are what we say we are? Each Mason who drops out denies our claims and is more harmful to the fraternity than if he had never heard of us. The solutions are simple. Live and act as our principles teach us that we should. The enactment of the solution is an obligation incumbent on each of us. For Masonry today is the sum of all who today are Masons. So there you have it. Kind of a neat, interesting look. You know, we talk all the time about NPD or non-payment, and we think about these things, and we wonder, why aren't we doing exit interviews or something along those lines? Well, it sounds like a couple lodges at least have tried, and having 40% response is about average. And what I find interesting is that's 40% of a state, not 40% of a lodge. So that's pretty cool. I hope perhaps more Grand Lodges do something like this, because I would love to see the data. And of course, our resident new data guy for the 21st century is Worshipful Brother John Ruark, who has compiled an amazing survey and is gathering tons of data to find out and analyze our retention problem, our non-payment of dues suspension problem, our low numbers. Who knows what the data is going to tell us? But hopefully, Brother John Ruark, who is a great analyst of data, can tell us what we want to know. But we need to be able to ask the questions too, so think of good questions so that he can look for that data. That's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the program. We're going to have guest host Brother Adam Thayer on in a couple weeks when I'm downstate in Springfield, Illinois for the Grand Lodge Communications. I will also be at the Valley of St. Louis for the fall reunion. I'm really excited, so if you're a listener of the show and you belong to the Valley down there, stop on by. In any case, if you like this show, please check out the Masonic Roundtable going live every Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central. And check out our articles on midnightfreemasons.org, which go live on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. With that, I'll talk to you all next week. Stay in the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.